Well, it's good to be in church this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
Now, there's no better place to be but in the house of God.
Amen.
Thank God for His mercy that we're able to even be in church this morning. There's a lot of places we could be. We could be dead and in hell. But God in His mercy has us sitting in the house of God today. Ain't that something?
Amen.
What a merciful God. I don't know about you, but I got up at 4 o'clock this morning to get ready for church. And I don't mean physically.
All right.
It don't take me long to get dressed, as you can tell. There ain't much to me. But I got up this morning at 4 o'clock. You say, why'd you do that? For prayer and reading my Bible. Preparing for God to show up in the house of God.
Right.
Look, if you didn't come here expecting God to show up, then you might as well just go back out the door. I'm not sure why you came. We don't come to see a man.
Right.
We don't come to hear what I have to say. We come to seek God.
Right.
We come to worship Him in the house of God. Have you forgotten what He's done for you? Where has He brought you from? I'm sorry if you grew up in church your whole life and think God has not done anything for you. I'm sorry if you lived a crazy life out there in the street and still think that God has done nothing for you. But I get excited because God has done a whole lot for me.
Amen.
And He continues to do so.
Yeah.
And I get excited when I get to come to church.
Amen.
Church is not something I do. It's who I am.
Right.
Since I've gotten saved and born again and Jesus Christ came into my life.
Amen.
I didn't get up and say, man, well, gosh, I'm going to drive an hour and a half to go to church. God forbid if I ever get an attitude like that. Well, thank God you heard today that my mother's here in church. And my mother likes to be called Ronnie. Her name is Veronica, but she likes to be called Ronnie. And we thank God for my mother coming to church. She has recently moved in with us.
Amen.
And we are helping take care of her. That's an honor that God has put upon us.
Amen.
The Bible says, honor your father and your mother.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the best way to honor my mother at this point is to help take care of her and move her into my house. And people look and go, man, are you crazy? No, I'm just doing what the Bible says.
Yeah.
We've forgotten to do that today, brother. In churches, you know, the Bible tells us to do things, not just to look at it and say, well, man, that sounds real good. No, God expects us to live that thing.
Amen.
He didn't give us an instruction manual just to look at it and say, wow, that sounds wonderful. No, He gave us an instruction manual to live and implement these things in our lives. Well, most of you know my wife, Amy. Raise your hand, Amy.
Amen.
My mother, Ronnie, who's here, and I'm so happy she's here. My daughter, Autumn, and my son, Luke. Lord willing, Luke will be, I asked Pastor Lewis, I'm not sure if Kaylin knows, Luke is going to talk tonight at 6 o'clock. He's going to do a little bit of preaching. Believes he's been called to preach. So it'll be his first time outside of our church preaching in a church.
Amen.
Come hear what he's got to say. I think he's got something good.
Yeah.
Right.
Look at God calls these young people. We need to encourage them. And thank you for your playing of the instruments, man. It's wonderful. Because I travel around and see a lot of young people. And look, they're not sitting there with a smile on their face in church. They hate being here.
That's right.
Whoops. You know who taught them how to hate church?
Yeah.
You.
Yep.
Mom and Dad.
Right.
Mom and Dad made them despise coming into the house of God. How, man, how awful could you imagine, Luke, if you had to live a life hating church? Well, I thank God that we've taught our children the joy of being in church and seeing you play that instrument is a wonderful thing. We ought to encourage the young people. Why? They're coming up behind us. The Bible instructs us to teach and encourage those young people. And yet we've forgotten that today and wonder why they're out there doing what they're doing. I have parents call me up all the time because you know I'm in a jail and prison ministry. And they say, Brother Dale, I'm not sure why my child went off and did what they did. I said, well, maybe you ought to look in the mirror and see what you didn't do.
All right.
Look, and I'm not saying all the blame what our children do is on us. We want to look back and see just maybe what we didn't do that we should have done.
Yeah.
And one thing is, give them no excuse about being in church.
Right.
Give them no excuse about reading that Bible in the morning. Look, my children have been brought up that when they get up in the morning, wipe the eye boogers out of your eyes, sit down and open your Bible and get some alone time with God.
Amen.
You know what that has caused? Not rebellion, not them hating the word of God. My children have been born again. They've been saved.
Amen.
Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean my kids get in on my coattail. They right. need their own salvation.
Yeah.
Amen.
God forbid, parents, that we don't have our children reading their Bibles, memorizing verses, and teaching them and instructing them in the things of God. What a wonderful thing it is that the responsibility that God has given us as parents to do that with children. Okay, then we wonder why the next generation coming up behind us is failing. The Bible says that the older men and older women are to teach the younger. Boy, got quiet. Let me ask you older folks, how many young people have you got together with this week? How many of them did you walk up and say, look, I just want to exhort you. I just want to encourage you in some things. I see your face. Older people, I'm talking, look at, we can look at somebody's face and see that they're struggling. Why aren't we going up to them and saying, hey, I'm praying for you. If you need something, why don't you reach out to me? As a matter of fact, why don't we just go out for some coffee or meet up somewhere and talk? But we don't do that today. We just leave them to themselves and hope for the best.
Yeah. Right?
Well, that's that wasn't my message. That was a freebie.
All right.
It was me. You know, preachers can never. You know what? When the Spirit moves me, I'm just going to be obedient to it.
Amen.
I'm not up here for me. I promise right. you. I'm not. Look, I can stay home in my home church, sit in that pew, and be okay. I can go to heaven right from my church pew. It wouldn't faze me a bit. If God closed my ministry down today and said, you're staying home, Bill, this is where you're going to be, I'd be just as happy sitting in our church pew, praising God, going to church and being able to learn the things of God and get into that Bible. But God in His mercy says, Dale, I need you to go out. I said, oh, God, not me. I'm Jonah. I was like Jonah for a long time. I ran from it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to. Why didn't you want to preach? Because there's a responsibility to hold this work. There's a responsibility that every single time, Caitlin, that I open this Bible, God's going to hold me accountable for what I say out of it. Now, I don't know if that bothers many other preachers or many other teachers, but that gets to me. Because I never want to say anything that God doesn't want me to say. I never want to say anything that is not true of that Bible. Because I'm going to stand before God one day. Now look, I'm not going to go to hell, but I'm going to stand before God one day, and He's going to say, Dale, why did you say that? Dale, why did you do that? And you know what shame I'm going to have when God asks the question why I said something that I shouldn't have said. But you know what? There's a disease running in our churches today. And I want to talk a little bit about that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, if you turn there. And I just want to talk about a disease called unbelief.
All right.
Our churches are full of people who do not believe. They have a fleshly belief. They have a belief that the world has. They have a belief that the Catholic Church has. But they don't have a belief that this Bible has. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. Anybody sitting in this church that says that they believe this Bible and don't live it, you're in unbelief. I'm just telling you, Brother Caleb, I did a study on that word belief. And every single time, sister, that somebody said they believe something in that Bible, it moved them to do something.
Amen.
My goodness, if you say that you believe that Bible, it ought to stir you to do something.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They're not doing it anymore. I have parents all the time come up to me and say, my son's doing this or my daughter's in that. My son, hey, there's just no deliverance for them whatsoever. I know what I tell them. I say, Christian, I go, hey, did you ever think that it's your unbelief that's stopping them from believing? Mm-hmm. Our children, people watch what we believe. They watch what we live. Amen. So many children are caught in things because they know that their parents don't even believe what they're trying to preach.
Yeah.
We try to preach it to our children and not live it. We're hypocrites in our own homes. We're Pharisees. The Pharisees always told people what to do and yet never lived it themselves. And it's a disease that's going on in our churches. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and look at verse 12. And just going to break this down a little bit. Hebrews 3 and verse 12, and it says this. I think I got the right one. It says, take heed, brethren. That means, you know what that word take heed means? To listen. Hey, don't come to church to fall asleep. My goodness, the spirit of slumber has taken over our churches. You ask my wife, how many people are falling asleep in church today? Why are you coming to church to fall asleep? Go to bed early on Saturday night. Put the TV away, whatever you're doing, and prepare yourself for church.
All right.
It's not a place to nap. I mean, of course, if you're older and you're sick, I get it. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But my goodness, the rest of us ought to be awake and trying to hear what God has to say. Isn't the Bible important anymore? So, man, why are you so loud and crazy? Look at, man, I live that way for the devil.
Right.
How many people are Bills fans? Let's be real.
Yeah.
What's going on at home? The yelling and screaming. Hey, let me just say this, though. If you don't like loud preaching, you ain't going to like it in heaven. There's a whole lot of shouting going on there. Why? Because people were rejoicing when they're with the Savior.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm trying to keep you awake, too. No, I'm just kidding. Look, it says, take heed. That means to listen, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil, a heart of unbelief, and departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. You know what God just called unbelief? Evil. Evil. Yeah. And we walk around like, when's the last time you said, Lord, forgive me for having an evil heart of unbelief? When's the last time you confessed that? Because we don't think about it. You know what the Bible says? Anything that is not of faith is sin. When's the last time you went to God and said, Lord, I'm sorry for not being faithful in that. I'm sorry for not having faith in that. I bet you not many people in there can say they have. Why? They don't think about it. But God calls it evil. He calls our unbelief evil, Christian. Not you, Christian, but Christians. I wasn't directed at any hand. But the Christians are full of unbelief in our churches today. And we wonder why there's no victory going on in their families. And why the families are full. Why is there so many divorces in our Baptist churches? I travel around, see hundreds of churches. And the sadness on their eyes, and I go, my goodness, Amy, if they would just get in that Bible, and if they would just believe that God can do the things he says he can do, but we have an evil heart of unbelief, and we don't believe that God can still do those things. Why do you think I'm going to jail and prisons? What do you think my reason for going in there for, besides me loving them? Because with all my heart, sister, I believe that God can change their life just like he did mine. I don't care what they've done. I don't care where they've been. Thank you for that water, bro. I appreciate that. Yes, sir, I appreciate that. But what have we done? We've fallen in unbelief, and then we expect other people to say, wow, what a Christian. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are many things that follow an evil heart of unbelief. That's only the beginning of it.
All right.
God's going to lay out some things.
Yeah.
That start with an evil heart of unbelief, and then he's going to roll some things up, some other things that start becoming evil in God's eyes. Some things that we don't think of. You go, man, where did you get this message? The Holy Ghost sat there and told me, Dale, what do you really believe? You see, I don't know about you, but God challenges me through that Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
We're not reading that Bible, brother. That Bible's reading me. And guess what it's doing? It's showing me. It's showing me where I am. It's showing me where I stand. And I must look at that. I can't turn away and say, don't look at that. No, I must look at what that Bible is showing me about myself. And I must go look at that and say, God, I agree with you. That is me. But you know what we try to do? Oh, that ain't me. That's so-and-so. Then why did God show that to you?
Right.
He didn't show it to you for somebody else. It's an evil heart of unbelief. Well, when a person has an evil heart of unbelief, look what follows. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Look what happens when a person gets in an evil heart of unbelief. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. I got to get there myself. Evil heart of unbelief. It's roaming through the churches and it's destroying families. It's destroying people.
Yeah.
It's a shame that we can't get it right. No, the Bible help us get it right. But just look at it and say, man, I'm in some unbelief. What are you in unbelief about? Hey, maybe there's a lost person here who just don't believe. Let me just tell you this. Let me just calm you down for one. It's okay to be in unbelief and admit that to God, because he can work in somebody's life who admits that they don't believe. It's the ones who are pretending that they do believe that God don't work with.
All right, brother. Preach it.
He's trying to get you to see where you stand with him. I remember probably about 6 months before I got saved, I took this Bible and I said, Lord, I do not believe this Bible like I thought I did. Within 6 months, I was born again. Amen. Why? Because I finally came to the place where me and God saw eye to eye, and he was able to deal with me on his level. You know it's never on my level that God wants to deal with me? You know what we're trying to do, Christian? We're trying to bring God down to our level and live by our standards.
Yeah.
Just who do we think we are trying to make God live our standards?
Yeah.
Do you know the Bible says that God is trying to make you live his standards? That you're to be conformed to his image?
Right.
You're supposed to look less and less like yourself and more like God.
Yeah, that's right.
We ain't going to be God, I'm just saying. But look at this text here, Mark chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 20. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. And he, this is Jesus Christ speaking, and he said, that which cometh out of the man is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Look at, when you're in the place of unbelief, when you're in the evil heart of unbelief, evil thoughts start coming through your mind. You start looking at everybody and everything like it's evil. He didn't say this was something that was coming out of your mouth. He said these are the things that are in your heart. But listen, let's go on to see here what it says in verse 20. He goes on and he says, verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Look at the next one. Adulteries, fornications, murders. My friends, he didn't say you're going out to commit these things. He said these things are in your heart. People say, well, I didn't live the life that you did. You didn't have to. You're just as guilty in your heart as I did out there living it.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
What do you think? It took a different Jesus to save you than me?
Yeah.
Do you think it took a different amount of blood to save me than it did you? It's the same cross, the same Christ.
Amen.
There's no difference. Well, look, man, did you have an excuse because you grew up in church your entire life looking on? Did you have an excuse to live your life any way you wanted, or did you need Jesus Christ just as much as your dad?
I need Jesus Christ.
The foolishness, brother. I know I can count at least 10 people on my hand right now that are in churches across America because they grew up in church. They think they're okay with Christ. They have no testimony of salvation, zero whatsoever. And then when you try to talk with them, they will not believe it. Bring them to these verses and they go, well, I didn't live that. I said, that's in your heart. It's in your heart. Look, if God is trying to deal with a person from the inside out,
that's real.
He's not trying to deal with my outward things. It's very easy for God to take away my smoking and my cussing and my drinking and going out there committing robberies. That was easy for God to. That was nothing for him to take away. The hard stuff was on the inside. He's looking on the inside of your heart. He's looking at that sin nature. He's looking at those things that are on the inside of your heart. Those things that you think in your heart, that's what God is after. He's trying to change from the inside out. Where does he want the truth? On the inward parts. Never does salvation come from the outside in. Jesus Christ steps on the inside of a person, and then he works from the inside out. What you see standing up here today is not something that happened to me because I quit drinking, quit smoking, and quit drugs. It's because Jesus Christ stepped into my life and started kicking things out that he didn't want there. He started working on the inward parts of me. And well, guess what happens when he started working on the inward parts? Those things went away.
Yeah.
Well, he goes on to say in verse 21, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceits, lasciviousness, and evil eye. Blasphemy. Here it is, pride. Mm. Boy, there's some prideful people out there today.
Yeah.
It's all built on pride, man. The pride of being in church and the pride of doing this and the pride of doing that. And God says he hates pride. Pride is never a good thing. I don't ever go up to my children and tell them I'm proud of you. Because God, go study out that word pride and see how well God likes it. He does not like it. I tell my children, you make my heart happy. You make my heart happy. Because never, when that Bible says that there's something wrong, then I'm going to not use it. You know, that's just a little thing. It wasn't to God. He made a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that he put it in his word. Ain't that something? But how little, brother, do people think of God's word today? How little do they go in there and study the words of God and what they mean and how God, what God's viewpoint is on it? You know what's going on today? Everybody's reading a book to get God's viewpoint. When God gave us a book to get his viewpoint, you don't need another book to tell you about this Bible. You can just get into this Bible all by yourself. You don't need an outside influence to teach you this Bible.
Amen.
We have a lazy generation. We have lazy people who turn to Google and everything else to learn. Now, learn your Bible by sitting down with the Holy Ghost of God. He'll teach you just fine if you believe that. If you believe that, how many Bibles or how many books have I read in my life since I've been saved? Maybe one? Why do I want man's opinion in my life? Whoever wrote those books, and if you believe that God gave that person those things to write in that book, why can't he give it to you? Is he a different God to them than you? You don't believe that. And you're lazy. You're lazy when it comes to studying. I'm not talking about reading your devotional. Simple 15-minute devotional. That's all we give God and think we're okay. The Bible says to study. You know what studying means? You'll never find time to study. You have to make it. You have to give something up that's yours to study. To show yourself approved to who? Your spouse?
No.
Your preacher?
No.
To God.
Amen.
You know why? Because you're going to give something up to study that Bible.
Yeah.
That's a reality. That's a reality. Do you say, do you read? Yep, I get up every morning and I read my Bible, but then I study. Because God called me to study, to show myself proven to him. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know where people are getting the word of truth? Everywhere except for the Bible.
Right.
God forbid. Now, I'm not saying books are bad. Okay? I'm not saying that. But if you read books, do me a favor. Have your King James Bible open while you read it.
Amen.
Because that's a man's opinion. And man makes mistakes. My pastor has written several books. And I've read one of his books. Do you think I had my Bible open when I did that? Of course I did. Doesn't matter if he's my pastor. He's a man who I love dearly. And I mean, I love dearly that man. I probably wouldn't be saved today if that man didn't come knocking on my door as a lost person. But I know he's a man. Why? What's happened to us? Amy, what's happened to us believing that God, the Holy Ghost of God, can teach us all things? The evil heart of unbelief. We no longer think that God can give us what he gave somebody else years ago. Why can't God give you those same things? Why can't God teach you that Bible? Why is it? Because if you really believe that, you start putting those things away, start reading your Bible on your own and let God teach you. You ain't got to believe that. That's fine with me. It doesn't matter. One thing I know is I believe with all my heart that God can teach me this Bible.
Amen.
Me and my mother were talking last night. And she goes, Dad, I just have a hard time with this Bible. She goes, I grew up with learning disabilities and stuff. And I said, Ma, so did I. I grew up in special ed classes and I have a hard time learning things and I just can't retain things in my head and stuff. But how can I stand up here for hours and preach? How can I? How can I preach something? By the way, none of my messages, I don't get them offline. I don't buy somebody else's messages.
Right.
And by the way, it's just verses written down. It's not, there's no thoughts here. Why is that? Because that's what God does. And I believe it. Look, if I start putting my thoughts on paper, then that means I believe my thoughts over what God wants me to say from behind this pulpit. Christian, I want God to tell me. I want God to speak to me behind this pulpit. Amen. Brother, if I get behind this pulpit and God doesn't show up to help me, I don't want to be here. It's a nightmare. I've been behind the pulpit and God leave, and it's terrible. But I just want to say, Lord, I'm going to write these verses down. And I'm going to stand behind this pulpit. And I'm going to believe that you're going to show up. And you're going to help the people that are standing there or sitting here. God just told me to preach it. He's going to be the one doing the help, not me. If you're looking to me for help, I can't help you.
Right.
But the Holy Ghost, he can.
Amen.
If you listen, if you believe, and get out of the unbelief and just believe that God can do exactly what he said he can do. We all, if I said, hey, who believes that God spoke this world into existence? Man, every hand would go up in here. And if you believe that God spoke this world into existence, then why can't he do it with his spoken word teach you? Why can't he help your unbelief? Why can't he save you if you're lost? Or Christian, if you're in something that you have unbelief in, why can't he help you through that?
Amen.
What is so big that God cannot get you through it?
Right.
Tell me. Well, that's what's going on in churches today, man. And it breaks my heart to see the unbelief. People are dropping off into eternity because of our unbelief. Well, we see that if a person has an evil heart of unbelief, they start getting those evil thoughts into their head. They start, it goes on and it says, a person starts in verse 23, it says there, and all these things come. Verse 22, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceits, lasciviousness, and look at this, an evil eye. That means we come to church, and you know what? We look at somebody that may have, you know, tattoos on their face or earrings in their ear. Please don't say nothing to them. Please don't say nothing to them while I'm here. Please don't say nothing. If you ever go out to dinner or anything with me, you better not say anything to anybody while I'm there. I don't care if they're gay. I don't care if they're lesbian. I don't care if they're covered in tattoos. You go, do you support that stuff? No, I don't support it. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus loves them just as much as he loves you. They need to be saved. Amen. And you judging them ain't helping nothing. That's your unbelief that's doing that. Give them a big tip and leave a nice note for them or something. Tell them how much Jesus Christ loves them. You don't know what they've been through.
Right.
Gonna judge somebody. Stop judging and start loving them. I'll tell you what. Jesus said we ought to love our enemies. We ought to love our neighbors. My goodness, how much of a practice in that?
Right.
Why? Because we have an evil heart of unbelief. We don't believe that Jesus Christ can save people like that. You kidding me? Man, I wouldn't be in the jail and prison ministry if I didn't think Jesus Christ could save anybody. You think I just go there for the fun of it? No, I go there because I hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. How about you? Are you carrying around that hope? Because I'll tell you what, it says if you have hope, then you'll start going out there and telling people about that hope. But why aren't you telling people about that hope? Your unbelief.
That's right. Come on.
An evil heart of unbelief. Why don't you want people to have your hope?
Mm. Yeah.
If you have such a big hope in Jesus Christ, then why aren't you sharing it with people? I just don't know if God can deal with that lesbian or that homosexual. It ain't up to you to think that.
Right.
It ain't your business to think that. You just be obedient to God. If he tells you to talk to that person, go ahead and talk to him. Hey, it's as simple as this. Your waitress or waiter comes up to the table. You just ask them, what's your first name? Well, my name is Jim. Jim, we're going to pray for you. So what me and my family does, we ask that waiter, or we ask that waitress, what's your name? And they say, what can we pray for you on? Is there anything that we can pray for you on? We're missionaries and we want to pray before we eat, and so we want to pray for you. Is that so hard? You know what that does? That shows them you're willing to be personal. Amen. You know what's impersonal? Just leaving them a track with a tip. That's what's impersonal. We become impersonal Christians. Why? Because it'll take us out of our comfort zone if we have to talk to them. Is that not real?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, we've had it, man. We've had some people, man. It was crazy. Some crazy stuff happened. But I'll never forget the one waitress took our order, and she came. It was the most messed up order ever. You ask my family right now, are you allowed to say anything if they mess up our order? Are they? My family is instructed, do not say a word if they mess up your order. You go ahead and eat that, it'll be just fine. Why? Because you don't know what them people are going through. You have no clue what them cooks are going through. Don't you have sympathy? Aren't you a Christian? Don't you have sympathy for those people that are in the back? Maybe they have a sick kid. Maybe they're addicted to something. Maybe something's going on in their life. Maybe they're in the middle of a divorce and it's hurting them. You don't know. Get involved in their lives simply by asking them, how can we pray? It got so deep one time, my wife got up and this lady was crying on my wife's shoulder. Ain't that special? Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Amen.
You know why? Because she got to see a Christian in action.
Yeah.
Someone who really cared for her.
Amen.
And then we left her the biggest tip she probably ever got in her entire life. Why? Because we want to show them Christ. Wouldn't Paul have done that? Wouldn't Jesus Christ have done that? Sure he would have. But our evil heart of unbelief, we won't do it. Hey, every one of us are called to certain people. You got earrings in your ear, big old earrings, noses and all. Go see the people that are like that. Go talk to them people. Tell them about Jesus Christ. You suffer from addiction, whatever you've been through in your life, go talk to them. God's got a people for you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Look, not everybody's called to everybody. But God has called us to everybody. What do you mean? Because each and every one of us has somebody we can reach. Well, why won't we do that? It's our evil heart of unbelief. What's the evil thought that I have then? That God can't save that person. Who are you to make that judgment?
Right.
How many people, Mother, over the years as a lost man, looked at me and said, Dale can be saved? How many people you think had hope for Dale Morey as a gang member? How many people you think had hope for Dale Morey as a drug addict? How many people you think people had hope for Dale Morey as somebody in and out of jail and prison in three different states? How many people you think had hope for me? Sister, I thank God that somebody had enough belief to preach to me.
Amen.
Today, you walk around in unbelief. Wouldn't it be nice to have a bunch of convicts saved, born again, sitting in your church, living?
Amen.
Right?
be wonderful having a bunch of drug addicts filling up this church. Woo!
Amen.
That stirs my heart, man, because I know what they can have. And you know what? You just made me that hope that you can tell them about that, that they don't have to be in that. They don't have to stay in that. That Jesus Christ is bigger than what they're in. That your Jesus Christ, hey, your Jesus Christ isn't just a religious name. Brother, there are so many people in this church, ready? There are people in this church, all they have is a religious Jesus. And it's not a wonder why he's not changing your life. When I walk into prison, I say, hey, how many people were born again? How many people are saved? You know, just about every one of them raised their hand. I go, can I ask you a question? How many of you have been in and out many times? Man, almost all of them raised their hand. I go, can you answer me one question? I said, why is my Jesus changing me and yours isn't changing you?
All right.
Wow.
Good preaching, bro.
I need to preach that in churches, too.
Yeah.
Why is my Jesus changing me and yours isn't changing you?
Yeah.
There's a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because every single time that I see Jesus Christ come in contact with somebody in that Bible, it changes their lives. It does not leave them the same that they've been. It does not leave them with the same thoughts. It does not leave them with the same desires. It does not leave them with the same way of life that they've always had. If your lifestyle has not changed with the Jesus you have, you may want to come and get the Jesus of the King James Bible.
Amen.
That's a reality. Because when people in this Bible ran into Jesus Christ, they left differently than when they met him.
Amen.
What's happened, sister? The evil heart of unbelief. We have good, brother, we have good, law-abiding, tax-paying Christian citizens sitting in church thinking they're okay with Christ, and they don't even have him. Does Jesus Christ, boy, look, you grew up in church your whole life. Did Jesus have to change you? You think he lived anything that I ever lived? But Jesus Christ still had to change that. You understand that? I don't care if you grew up in church your whole entire life. Jesus Christ is still going to change you. He don't say, hey, you're going to put it neutral and coast on out of here. That don't work like that. Let's... 13 years, I think I've been saved. October will make 13 years this year that I've gotten saved. 13 years. That's it. I'm still a baby in Christ.
Amen.
But let me tell you, in 13 years, what Christ has done to me. Let me tell you what he's still doing to me. Look, I am not the same Christian that I was yesterday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God for that. I am not the same person that I was yesterday. Why? Because God, you look at me, just tell you this. God, for the last few weeks, has had me tangled up. Why? Because he's shown me some things about myself. There's two things I can do. I can either turn to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I see that clearly. No, you're exact. And I can agree with him, or I can say, I don't agree with that and continue on the same way. It gets worse, by the way.
Yeah.
If there's no chastisement in your life, if God doesn't correct you, there's a problem. He calls you a bastard. You're not his.
Mm.
My backside's wore out from what God does to me. Why? Because he doesn't leave me the same person that I've been. He changes the person that he's... You know what it says? That you're not of yourself. You've been bought with a price. Hey, that precious blood that we talk about, that saving power of Jesus Christ that's in that blood, but yet we live like we don't have that power. That's the evil heart of unbelief. Oh, well, let me get back to my message. I'm almost done. Hey, if you were at a football game, NASCAR game, anything else, you know what we can do? We can take hours and hours and hours to sit around and do earthly things, but we have a hard time sitting for an hour, hour and a half listening to the preacher.
Yeah.
I don't get that, man. I just don't. I don't understand what's going on today. Yeah, I do kind of understand. It's unbelief. People want to come in and do their religious duty and leave. Well, I've done that today. Okay, I'm all good. All right, we'll see you tonight at 6. All right, we'll see you Wednesday. Or see you, you know, whenever the next time our church service is, I get to come in and just do my religious thing and then leave here. Let me just tell you this. Unbelief has caused people to come to church and leave the same that they came in.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, man.
They're not looking for anything that's preached out of this Bible. Mm-hmm. Here's what's on their mind. Well, what am I going to do after the service is over? I got to get this ready. I got to do that. You know, I got to. That's what's going on in people's mind. They absolutely come into church and can look at me, brother. They can stare me dead in my eyes and not think, not hear one word I've said. Charlie Brown, womp, 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 womp. Preachers know that. Preachers understand. You know how many times, brother, people come up to me and shake my hand. Wonderful message, and inside they're telling me, I can't stand you.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to learn how to get over that from these so-called Christians. Don't come up and shake my hand. If you don't like what I preach, don't come shake my hand and tell me you like it. I'm okay. You are not going to offend me. I'd much rather you be truthful than come up to me and tell me a lie dead to my face. Be truthful. Don't say anything. If you've got something to say, say it then. But if you're going to come up to me and say, oh, good message, and you didn't think it was a good message, I'm fine with that. It will not bother me if you walk out that door and don't talk. I'd like for you to. I'm not telling you not to. But I'm just telling you, you will not offend me. Just don't come lying to me. Because you know, one thing I will not do is lie to you. That's a word. Well, Matthew chapter 6, we're getting there. You see where God is going with this whole... look, unbelief just isn't for lost people. Christians are trapped in unbelief so hard. It's a disease that's running rampant in the churches because people have forgotten how to believe in this Jesus Christ. You're just so wrapped up in that Bible. Yes, thank God that I'm wrapped up in that Bible. You know why? Because it's an instruction manual for my life.
Amen.
I don't know about anybody else in this church, but I know I didn't know how to run my life. That's why I always ended up in jail and prison. That's why I always ended up in a mental hospital or rehab. Why? Because I didn't know how to run my life. But since I got this Jesus Christ and he gave me an instruction manual, how many times do you think I've been back on drugs? How many times do you think I've been back to jail since then? Man, I must just have this special Jesus that only does that for me, Amy. Because people do not believe it. I'm telling you right now, people do not believe it.
I do.
People do not believe that Jesus Christ can save it. You never have to be what you used to be. You never have to do a 15-year opioid addiction. Let me tell you about how many drugs God had to put me on to get me off of them. Zero. I didn't need another drug to get me off of a drug. That's more addicting than the drug I'm on. You say that around certain people and it drives them nuts because they don't believe that, yet they claim they believe Jesus. Because they believe the physicians over Jesus. They believe the lies of the devils and the doctors over Jesus Christ. I've had 16 back surgeries, neck surgery. Matter of fact, I'm wearing a pain stimulator on my back right now. I have two wires connected to my spine. And I have a control that I carry around. Call it somewhere. I have a control that I carry around. How much pain medicine do you think I take? Zero. You know why? God's grace is sufficient. Why is that? Why is that? Because I believe. Can I ask one more thing? When I met my pastor, I was on how many pills, hon?
10 to 12.
10 to 12 psychotropic pills, mental medication. 10 to 12 of them. A day. How many of you think I'm on today?
Zero.
Yeah.
I must just be a special guy that Jesus Christ can only do that for me. Because I have Christians sitting in this room right now that do not believe that. And yet they say they believe. I must just be special. What's so special about me is I believe this.
Amen.
And I believe the one who wrote this. That's where my belief is. My belief is in nothing else. Because it's what delivered me. It's what saved me. It's what made me the man that I am today. And I may not be much of a man, but I'm more of a man today than I've ever been. Because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of what he's done. It's no glory on my part. It's nothing that I've done. I couldn't be a man because me being a man was I can fight. I can go out there and I can abuse the women. And I can go out there and I can do drugs and I can drink more and I can fight this and I can do that. That wasn't manhood. That was an effeminate person walking around. Manhood is not knowing how to fight. What is a physical fight? Zero. I don't care how bad you think you are. I don't care how much you think you can fight. It ain't going to help you spiritually. You ain't going to fight your way out of hell.
Right.
Try that. And I was a fighter. I like to fight. I'm an Irish guy. We like to fight. But let me tell you, what did that fight get me? Nothing. What did it prove to? Who did it prove anything to? Nothing. Nobody. But I thought it did. You know all it did, brothers? It left a trail of destruction.
Yeah.
But God, in His mercy, almost 13 years ago, stepped into my life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what He showed me? That I can trust His love. Yeah. And that I can believe in His finished work and what He done for me, a sinner who needed to be saved by His grace and His mercy. That He would look down so low that He would look at the bottom of the barrel and there I'd be. And you know what it says in His book? It says that His arm is outstretched. Hey, God is not trying to repel His arm. He's outstretching His arm. He's reaching down in the bottom of that barrel and He's looking to scrape them out. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, not the goody two-shoe. God likes sinners. He wants to save them, don't He, brother? He wants to bring them to glory.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ain't that something? Jesus wants to bring me to heaven. Mm-hmm. He wants to have an old gang member, drug addict, alcoholic in heaven with him.
Mm-hmm. Not alone,
I'll tell you one thing I won't have is just nasty tattoos I can't stand.
All right.
When I got saved, I said, Lord, can't be a, how am I going to be a Christian with these tattoos? Lord, I can't. I hate them. And God said, that's your testimony. I said, Lord, yes, you're exactly right. People need to know how low you can go. Mm-hmm. People need to see what He can do.
Amen.
I believe it. I mean, hey, brother, let me say this. Wouldn't you like to see a bunch of other addicts and convicts and standing up here preaching?
Yeah.
Covered in tattoos, scars from the world, yeah. Rescued by Jesus Christ, saved by the blood. Isn't that exciting that God can do that for a person?
Amen.
But what's going to stop that is our evil heart and unbelief.
Yeah.
Right.
God didn't give you that heart of evil unbelief. That's your heart. How about it today? Where do you really stand in this matter of believing the Bible? Is it just a religion? I know this after many years of spending in jail, being in jail and prison in three different states. Religion never changes people.
Amen.
It makes them do the same thing as insanity over and over again, expecting something different that never happens. That's what religion does to people. When I go into the jails and prisons, I'm working with religious people who have a different Jesus than me. You know, Paul told us, he warned us about the other Jesus. If somebody come preach another Jesus. You see, the devil wants to be called Jesus. He said that in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 14. He said, I will be like the Most High God, not the opposite. Everybody thinks the devil's standing there with a pitchfork and a long tail. That's not him. He's the most beautiful created being ever created.
Yep.
Ezekiel chapter 38, 28 tells us that. And guess what? He was created with music inside of him. Why? Because he used to stand over the throne of God and play music to God. What do you think one of his weapons are to fool people today?
That's right.
Music. Yeah. Just because music has the word Jesus in it or God in it doesn't make it Christian.
That's right. Amen.
Here's what happens. Jesus Christ saves a person. And He removes that stuff out of their life. I remember me and my wife struggling with that type of music. Because what were we doing? Well, we listened to country and hip-hop and all that. Guess what they have there? They have Christian country and hip-hop. You see, you're feeding the flesh.
Right.
You're not feeding anything spiritual. And the devil uses that. Not only that, you know what he does? Lost people are now listening to this Christian music. Let me tell you about one Christian concert that I went to as a lost person thinking I was saved. Darien Lake, Kingdom Bound.
Oh, yeah.
The dope they were smoking, the beer they were drinking, the fighting that was going on, Christian. Fornication right there, Christian. You see, everybody likes to label everything Christian. Why, brother? Because they want to feed their flesh. They don't want to live spiritually. They want to live in the flesh. And say, I have Christian. I have Jesus Christ and live in the flesh. They still like their flesh. They still like what they are. It's like, you see, what happened to me is I became tired of who I was on the inside. It wasn't the things on the outward. I became tired of those things that I was on the inside of me. The hatreds and the bitterness and the depressions where I couldn't get out of bed. Where I'd sit on the edge of my bed and I would rock back and forth and say, God, why you let me live another day? I got tired of being afraid of my anger. I was afraid that I was going to hurt my family. My anger used to be so vicious. My mother used to watch me jump off of her porch over out there on the west side of Buffalo and just start pounding people out for no reason. No reason! If you've never been afraid of your anger, you have no clue what it is to be an angry person. And then God came in and he moved inside. And brother, guess what? When he moved inside, that night that I got saved, I remember getting up off that floor. Nobody had to lead me through the Romans Road. The Holy Ghost did fine by himself. Nobody had to lead me through a prayer. Me and God were just fine on our own. I got up off that floor, brother, and I was like, woo! Man, I was almost 300 pounds on all this mess, but I tell you what, Christian, if I could have did backflips, I would have. You know why? Because the peace that came up for the first time in decades, my conscience was clean. I had nothing bothering my conscience. And guess what? I can go to bed without sleeping pills. I can go to bed without having to drink myself to sleep. Because my conscience was clean. And the peace of God had come into my life. I never experienced that before. I said, man, that's better than any drug. If you didn't experience it, let me introduce you to what God can do. It's beyond any high you can possibly think of. But then a couple days later, I started getting upset. And for the first time in my life, I realized that I was getting angry and I could stop myself.
Yeah.
You see, my whole life I've been on medication for that stuff. But see, when Jesus moved in, Ma, no longer did you have to see your son doing that stuff. Because Jesus Christ stepped in and changed your son's life.
Amen.
Amen.
He stepped in and within 6 months, sister, I was off all that medicine. Every bit of it. Why? Because that's the miracle that Christ does.
Amen.
6 months later, my beautiful wife ends up getting saved. Ain't that something to have?
Amen.
God is good. A few years later, my son, how long have you been saved now, Luke?
Well, my spiritual birthday was March 28th, so 4 years.
4 years. Autumn, how long have you been saved, honey?
Close to 2 years.
Close to 2 years, right? May? I think May have made 2 years. Ain't that something? All because God stepped into a man's life and broke that cycle, changed his life. And now we have a saved, born again family. Why? Because I believe that.
Yeah.
And I believe with all my heart, and I'm closing with this, and I'm going to turn it over to Kayla. But I believe with all my heart, hear me out. I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart in this Bible that it can lead me and change me. You know what's going to happen today, Mom? I'm going to leave here different than when I came in here. Why? Because the word of God was spoken.
There you go.
Don't raise your hand. Don't embarrass yourself.
Yeah.
Don't lie to me. How many of you really honestly, and you don't have to shake your heads or nothing, just search your hearts. How many of you honestly got up this morning, ready for church, prepared your heart? Because look at And Kaylin, I think Christian can back me up on this. A lot of times in the Bible, I don't know the exact number, but it's over 10 times in that Bible, it says when people were going to receive the word of God, they had to prepare their hearts.
Yeah. Amen.
Did you prepare your hearts to receive the word of God today? We try to come in here in the flesh. We try to come in here in those things that we've done wrong against people. We try to come in here with that spirit of unbelief, and we think that we're going to get something from the Bible. The Bible says we ought to prepare our heart. That's why you need to get up early on Sunday mornings and say, Lord, have I done something wrong? Show it to me. Search me to see if I've done anything evil, that I may get it right, that nothing will hinder me from hearing the word of God. I need to hear the word of God. I need you, Lord, to come into my life. I need your direction in my life. I need you to help me with this decision. How can you hear the voice of God when the world is so loud in your ears?
Yeah.
How can you hear the word of God when everything's got your mind and heart taken? You know what the Bible says? Sanctify God in your heart. But you can't sanctify God in your heart when the world's in it. Or does, hey, did everybody just forget that God showed, he likes to show up in church and help people? What if you're a hindrance here today and somebody may have missed something? Did you ever think about that? Brother, you know what I pray? Lord, don't let me be a hindrance to the services. Don't let me be the cause. Don't let something be in my heart that hindered me from these services. Just because I'm the preacher doesn't mean I don't prepare my heart to hear the word.
Right.
I just want you to know that. Yeah. I am not above that.
Yeah.
I'm no different than you. I just got a calling on my life. Yeah. You may have a different calling on your life, but we're all equal. We're brothers and sisters in Christ if you're saved. If you're not saved, you can't be born again. Do you believe? Do you believe? Kaylin, I'm done, brother.